Joseph meets his brethren, chapter 23. Famine is a dreadful thing. It is a time when children cry for bread, for food, and there is none or there is much too little. Then the people become thin and weak, and if the famine lasts for a long time, the people die. That has happened in some countries during the last war. In our former chapter, you have read that famine also had come to Egypt. Instead of growing, everything withered. However, for the Egyptians it wasn't so bad, because they had grain in abundance. Joseph had taken care of that. The famine prevailed not only in Egypt, but also in the neighboring countries, such as the land of Canaan. When those foreign nations heard that there was an abundance of corn in Egypt, many traveled to Egypt to buy food. Joseph sold to everyone who came. Didn't this make it very busy? Yes, for Joseph's servants worked in the barns from early morning till late at night selling corn. Every day the roads leading towards Egypt were filled with travelers who were buyers. Groups of buyers returned on this road with full sacks and glad faces, while other groups are going to Egypt with empty sacks to have them filled there. Behold, we see a group of men traveling silently. They are also buyers who of necessity are forced to travel toward Egypt. When they arrive there, they are promptly brought to Joseph. These men, for there are 10 of them, bow low before this mighty viceroy and wait respectfully. Joseph looks sharply and searchingly at these men. Suddenly he says in an angry tone, "From where do you come?" Frightened, these 10 men answer, "We came from the land of Canaan to buy corn, my lord." "I don't believe anything of it," Joseph answers harshly, "and I tell you that you are spies, horrible spies." These men look distressed, and tremblingly they say, "No, my lord. It is indeed true that we are 10 brothers who have come to buy corn. Honestly, we are speaking the truth. We are no spies." But Joseph remains angry, and he shakes his head, saying, "I will not let you deceive me. I again say, you are spies. You have come to have a good look at our land. If I let you go, you will come back a short time later with a strong army to kill all of us and to steal our wheat." Who are these 10 men? From where did they come? And why was Joseph so angry with them? These men were Joseph's brothers. You already know that nothing grew in Canaan either. During the first year of famine, they still ate of that which they had over from the former years. But in the second year, when the harvest was a failure, their wheat was also gone. What must they do now? Jacob, their old father, had heard that there was wheat in Egypt, and he had said, "You must go to that country and buy some wheat." His sons frightened. "Go to Egypt?" They did not want to do that. Why not? You must be able to surmise why. Hadn't they sold their brother Joseph as a slave, and hadn't he been brought to Egypt? That was already 20 years ago, but they are afraid of the possibility of meeting Joseph, and therefore they do not like to go. But of course they must go, otherwise they will all perish. Not only they, but their wives and their children will perish too. It is a must. They go with a heavy, fearful heart. Benjamin, their youngest brother, remains at home. His father would not let him go because he was the only remaining son of Rachel. Joseph, her other son, was believed dead, so Jacob did not permit Benjamin to leave for fear something would happen to him as had happened to Joseph. All 10 brothers are now standing before the viceroy, who is very angry with them. He does not believe what they are saying, and he is accusing them of being spies. What must they do now? They look at each other uneasily. "Oh, sir," they say to him, "oh, sir, listen to us. There were 12 of us. We were all sons of one father. The youngest remained at home with his father, and one is no more. Thus it is that we as 10 men have come to buy corn." Probably you will ask, didn't they see that this governor was Joseph, their brother? No, they did not recognize him. It was so long ago since they had seen him last, more than 20 years ago. Joseph was then still a boy of 17 years, and now he has become a man. Besides, he has Egyptian clothing on. Thus they do not know him. But Joseph knows them. He immediately saw that they were his brethren. Yet he did not say at once, "I am Joseph." No, he wanted to see if they were still as wicked as formerly. So he put them to the test by treating them harshly. The Egyptians stand by, listening in silence. In suspense, they await the issue. While these 10 men tell Joseph these things, he remains just as stern as ever. Not a muscle in his face moves. When they are finished talking, a deadly silence prevails for a moment. "I tell you, you are spies," his voice rings out sternly. "But all right, I will investigate and see if you are speaking the truth. Woe to you if you are lying. Hearken, you must all remain here, for I have no thought of letting you go free. I will let one of you go back to Canaan, and he can get your youngest brother. Then it will be proven whether you are sincere." How they frightened! They dare not say another word because it could be that this governor would become so angry that he would kill them. Oh, they should never have come to Egypt. Joseph gives a short command, and a few soldiers come running hastily forward. They take them captive and bring them to the prison. All 10 brothers are locked up for 3 days. At the end of 3 days, they all must come to Joseph again. Pale and trembling, and they stand before him. "I have been thinking," Joseph says, "and I have found a better solution. Your old father, your wives, and children must have food, and therefore I shall change my plan. One of you must remain in Egypt as a prisoner, and the rest of you must return to Canaan so that you can bring food for your families. When you return, bring your youngest brother along, and then I will know that you have spoken the truth. If you don't want to do that, then you shall die." These brothers are extremely afraid. Oh, they say to each other, "We should never have sold Joseph. Oh, we should never have done that. We saw how terrified he was. He begged us to have pity upon him, and yet we sold him. Now the Lord is punishing us." Reuben, who tried to deliver his brother, "Do you still remember that, boys and girls?" answered, "Yes, it is your own fault. I warned you at that time not to do it, but you would not listen." They did not realize that Joseph understood every word that they said, because they thought, "The governor cannot understand us. He speaks the Egyptian language, and we speak in the language of the land of Canaan." They could not surmise that Joseph understood everything. Suddenly, Joseph beckons to a few soldiers and whispers something in their ears. At once, they grab Simeon, bind him, and bring him to the prison. Thus, he is the one who cannot return. Joseph orders the sacks of the other nine to be filled, and then they return homeward. One of the brothers opens his sack on the way and becomes very frightened. The money that he had paid for the food lies on the top of the food. How is that possible? And now the governor will also think that he has stolen it. They are not able to understand this thing. Behold, they come near their tents. Jacob comes to meet them, but suddenly he stands still. Anxiously he asks, "Where is Simeon?" "Oh, father, the viceroy was so angry with us. He accused us of being spies. Simeon had to remain in Egypt as a prisoner until we go again to buy wheat. Then we must take and bring Benjamin with us. The governor commanded us to do that." "No, no," Jacob answers excitedly. "I will never let Benjamin go. Benjamin must remain with me." "Yes, father, he must go. Otherwise, we cannot get any wheat again, and all of us will be put into prison," his sons answer. Jacob continued to refuse to let Benjamin go. "Father," Reuben says, "you may slay two of my sons if I do not bring him back to you." That was a foolish proposal, because Jacob would never do such a thing. "Benjamin remains at home," Jacob says firmly. They all open their sacks, and everyone finds his money on top of the wheat. They are frightened more than ever. But the food which they have brought home is soon eaten. "You must again go to Egypt," Jacob said one day. "No, father, we will not go unless Benjamin goes with us." Jacob looks grieved. "Why did you tell that man all those things?" he complains. "How could we know that he would say we must bring Benjamin with us?" they say defensively. "He asked us, and we told him everything. We did not know beforehand that he would just say, 'Bring Benjamin with you.'" The tears came into Jacob's eyes. He realized that he must let Benjamin go, otherwise they shall all die from starvation. "Father," Judah says all at once, "father, let him go along with me. I shall take good care of him, and I shall bring him back in safety to you. I will be surety for him, that is to say, if he doesn't come home, then I will not come home. I shall protect him even if I should be killed myself." Children, in this, Judah is an example or type of the Lord Jesus. He died so that he could bring his people into heaven. Jacob then lets them go, even Benjamin. They take double the amount of money with them, and also a present for the angry governor. Probably this will cause him to be friendlier. Jacob stands watching them leave, for a long time. He wonders what the outcome will be. O God, he pleads, wilt thou grant that that man will treat them differently? Wilt thou grant that he will believe them? Then he again goes into his tent.